Drunk.ie Podcast.
Education and information.
Okay, I'm now joined by Tony Duffin, director of the Anna Liffey Project. The Anna Liffey Project is a low-threshold harm reduction drug project based in North Inner City Dublin. Tony is here to discuss certain aspects of the work carried out by the Anna Liffey Project. Thanks for coming in to talk to us today, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Now, I believe last year was the 25th anniversary of the project. Can you give us just a brief history and overview of Anna Liffey, why it was set up and what services that you actually provide there?
Sure, I suppose to start off with, my tenure as director started on November 2005, so I've been director for just over 2.5 years. So just to give you some context there to my involvement, the Anna Liffey Drug Project began in 1982. Lada Frank Brady was the founding director of the Anna Liffey in conjunction with Mara De Lacy. And they established a service that was essentially a counselling service in its first guise. They soon realised that they were working directly with people who were actively using drugs, and it was slightly different, if you like, in terms of what they were faced with regards to rehabilitation and such, and the abstinence, which was the common approach of the day. Frank had worked in Paris and France for some years prior to coming back to Dublin to begin the Anna Liffey Drug Project, and had certainly had learned around the notions of low threshold work, the notions of acceptance and client centred approach from his experiences over there. And certainly low threshold work would come from the notion of the notions of low threshold work come from mainland Europe. I was speaking with Shane Butler the other day and we were discussing how the notions of low threshold come out of the Dutch experience.
Okay, could you just explain that whole concept of low threshold, what that actually means? You mentioned there as well the origins of the Anna Liffey Project seeming to move away from an abstinence model. Can you expand on why you think that was necessary at the time and what low threshold actually means?
Okay, well, firstly, why was there a need to move towards harm reduction? Well, harm reduction and low threshold work. Clearly, there was a heroin epidemic in and around the mid-80s, and the Anna Liffey was set up to respond to that. And with that came, the era of HIV and AIDS and other blood-borne viruses that were being contracted through injecting drug use. And I think that notion of harm reduction particularly obviously was born out of that need. I suppose the other side of that, which is low-threshold work that we do, is the notion of keeping engaged with somebody, having fewer rules within the project so that you can keep engaged with somebody, so you have a higher tolerance of difficult behaviour perhaps,
okay.
So that you can keep contact with people,
okay.
And I think that's something the Anna Liffey does very, very well. It's our bread and butter work, if you like. We keep in contact with people who perhaps other services would find difficult to work with. So just that notion of engagement, of having few rules, of having a high tolerance towards difficult behaviour.
The Anna Liffey service itself neither promotes nor denounces problem substance use.
Mm.
Can you explain why you think that's an important part of the work that the project is actually doing?
It's an essential part of the work. I think it's a safer way of working if you just accept that this is the issue, this is the drug problem that is in our area, and for a service like ourselves, we will work with people where they're at. It's more of an attitude, really, that we seek to promote within our own service for our staff and our management board and our management team that wishes to promote. Just that notion that if you neither promote nor denounce drug use, then it just simply is there and you're able to work within that. It means that we can work in an accepting way. I think quite often people talk about non-judgmental work, but what does that mean?
Mm.
And I think that this has boiled, for us certainly, when we wrote this down in our strategic plan last year, this kind of boiled it down. I mean, this is what it is to be a low threshold harm reduction service. Is a key point for us.
I was reading your strategic plan earlier, and it refers to the harm reduction approach in that plan as being an accepted norm now. You would obviously advocate, I'm not saying you don't advocate an abstinence approach, but you see it really as the way forward in dealing with a very serious issue.
Absolutely. From my experience, when it comes to people who are actively using drugs and have problems with drug use, it's the beginning of a relationship. It's keeping contact with people. It's preventing them from contracting very serious bloodborne viruses that will ultimately cause death. So if we aren't doing that work, then we're going to see a higher mortality rate within the drug using population. If we aren't keeping contact with people, then how can we hope to create opportunities for change? Abstinence isn't the goal of harm reduction, but it's not exclusive of abstinence.
It can be used as a vehicle towards
absolutely.
Abstinence.
Absolutely. And we work with people for many years and nothing changes or small steps are made. And then they look to change, and we know them, we're linked in with them, and we can refer them on and we can help them towards significant change in their lives. Okay. So if we weren't doing that, if there wasn't a contact, opportunities for change, windows of opportunity for change are very small, and we need to be there in contact with people when they do arrive.
Okay.
And we need to act. And also we need the services to be there when we do act, and we do need to act, and that's often not the case.
Okay. Can you give us an idea of what kind of a client group that you would deal with in the project?
Okay. Well, we talk about active drug users, so the people that we work with are engaged in drug use at the moment. We have, an injecting culture, a relatively small group of people within Dublin, and that's essentially historically our client group. But I suppose it's not just about injecting drugs anymore. There's all sorts of drugs more freely available. We have issues around pills, benzodiazepines, Zimovane, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Issues around alcohol, issues around cocaine, issues around heroin. Any drug really that is available on the market, on the illicit drug market, that people take and present with to the Analyphy, then we have an open door, so people just walk in and we help them.
And you're immediately
focus on the person, to be honest. I mean, it's not about which drug they take.
Yeah, okay.
It's about the person, and I suppose the issues of poverty. Poverty is a massive issue. It's lots of issues around social problems, health problems, mental health problems. My team at the Analyphy would in fact deal with anything that walks through the door. I mean, we have huge issues around mental health and addiction, mental health and drug use.
Okay.
Huge issues around homelessness and addiction and drug use. Other issues, the collapse in relationships between family members, so people who are isolated and lonely. And the Analyphy acts as a contact and community for those people where drug use and problem drug use and the associated behaviour has led to them breaking off contact with families and friends and such, so they come into us.
In terms of your own philosophy, you know, to the approach that you're taking within the project, can you offer up some insight into what the differences are between the philosophy that Analyphy would take to maybe some of the other approaches that are taken within the whole drug field?
The obvious one is harm reduction and abstinence-based services, and I think we mentioned it before earlier, but there is a philosophical debate that's going on in a number of countries around the notion that whether harm reduction and abstinence are juxtapositioned, i.e. can one work with the other? My belief is that they can, that you have to have options for people. There has to be options available. You can't, there is no getting rid of harm reduction now. There is no getting rid of abstinence now. You need those services to be available. From a terms of a philosophical perspective, I suppose much of the different projects that are open now in terms of harm reduction have very similar philosophies. I think what the Analyphy does particularly well is our low threshold work, the nature of the service, and we've been quite clear in trying to explain ourselves around that in our strategic plan last year. A significant difference between ourselves and other services, where we really do try to have an active inclusion policy.
Okay.
And don't bar people. I can safely say that nobody is excluded from the Analyphy at this point in time.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to imagine what somebody would have to do to get excluded from the Analyphy.
Okay.
We would reduce the service to somebody. We may say to somebody the drop in isn't available to them, but they can come in between 12 and 1 and have a one-to-one piece of work. We can meet people off-site. So we do not exclude people from the service. We may reduce the service or type of service that we might give to somebody,
okay,
which is significant.
You know,
it's a difference to maybe that's just a significant difference around how we work.
Okay, can we just focus on the actual services themselves then? What sort of services are provided directly within the building in Analiffy, and what sort of outreach services would you have?
The hub of the service is the drop-in service, which is open between essentially 10 and 12 and 2 and 5 each day of the week. Within that, there's a variety of services that go on within those hours. We close between 12 and 1 to have the opportunity to hold people back who may be in some form of crisis, so that we can do some work there. And I think it's clear to us that, as I say, is the hub of our service. It's where we meet our clients, where we identify people who need that extra support from the different services that the other services we provide. So we do case management. We work with people. We identify people who will need extra intervention from the project working team. We will do that with individuals and families, and we will work towards established goals and work towards goals with the individuals and the families that we're working with. So that's the case management that we do. I mean, that's a broad overview. We have the peer support group. The peer support group, which has been been well established over many years. It's a group that meets on a regular basis. And the idea of it is that it's a harm reduction group. So it's about getting harm reduction messages into that particular group within the community. It doesn't just stop there in the room where we've talked about the dangers of, say, cocaine injecting and how to protect yourself. It will carry on into the afternoon session, in conversations, in the drop-in. People talk about what they've learned. People take it out into their own community, and you're seeing messages that reduce harm around active drug use going out into the community.
So there's a continuum there.
It's called the peer support group because essentially we're looking for the peers to go out back into their community and spread the word around harm reduction, about how to reduce harm to each other when they're out.
So
on certain day-to-day life,
a certain amount of empowerment then of the client.
Empowerment
user.
And dispelling myths and busting myths around misinformation around drugs and new trends in drugs. For example, that whole notion of cocaine injecting was a new trend very recently, and the Analiffy and other services came together and created interventions. But within the peer support group, the team were delivering messages around the dangers of indirect sharing and such.
Okay.
So that went back out into the community.
You obviously have identified the idea of peer support as being a very, very important part of that process.
Yeah, the Analiffy drug project definitely has sort of led on that issue over the years, around that notion of something. It's very good. I mean, you're talking about a group of people who are also trying to fill their day as well in many regards, and it's a very positive and proactive engagement. It's also a way of building relationships and working towards positive change as well for people. So that's a peer support group. We do holistics during the week as well, where we provide oracular acupuncture and head and shoulder massage. And clearly they are interventions that are recognised for reducing stress. I suppose there's a couple of reasons for wanting to do that. Stress and drug use are interlinked.
Yeah.
And also in terms of people who are physically unwell in terms of HIV or perhaps hepatitis C, stress can have a massive impact on their well-being. So we're trying to alleviate stress when we deliver those interventions.
Okay.
We also carry out work around assertive outreach. To date, it has been as and when we are able to deliver that because of the massive increase in numbers the Analiffy has seen recently has meant that we've had to focus our attention on running the project. But we have in the past had a very proactive, assertive outreach around the area to engage with people and promote our own service and other services, and engage with people not from a policing perspective but from a supportive perspective, just to engage with people in the local area that may be using drugs or drinking in the area. And the positive news is that it was announced on Tuesday is that the Analiffy has received funding, and part of that funding will enable us to deliver regular assertive outreach within the area. So that's really positive. So we're going to be seeing that properly funded now going forward.
We also
work in the prison as well. We work in the drug-free wing of the prison, and we work. The Mountjoy prison, that's been a long-established piece of work that we do alongside other organisations that are working up in the prison as well.
Okay, and what kind of work would go on then in that setting in Mountjoy?
So it's group work, essentially. We'd be approaching it from the point of view of again, around harm reduction, around the notions of relapse prevention. People are at risk of relapse and the dangers of overdose and such. I think essentially quite broad ranging. It's a quite a broad ranging piece of work that we do in Mountjoy Prison, and it's a very educational piece of work as well that we do with the men who are drug free at the moment.
In your strategic plan, you talk about the importance of having local, national and international responsibilities. Can you expand a little bit on that for us?
I think it's clear that the Anna Liffey Drug Project is a local North Inner City Dublin project. When we say that we have a local national perspective, what we mean by that is that we need to lift our heads up out of the trenches and see what's going on elsewhere. And we also need to inform elsewhere as to what we do. Our approach has been to do that is to come along today and talk about the Anna Liffey's work, is to put a strong emphasis on web-based tools, our website, the addiction search engine, doing web-based launches and such, just raising our profile generally. And I think that's about both promoting best practice and seeking out best practice and looking to see what's happening elsewhere. And there's many different reasons for wanting to do that.
I know we touched on this earlier as well before we were talking here now, but the approach of hooking in with other organisations and using a kind of partnership approach to achieve the one set of aims and goals, and obviously that's something that you believe is of vital importance to the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, we can't do these things on our own, and there are a number of services now established, particularly harm reduction services that are established, but not exclusively harm reduction services, I should say, that are well established and trying to achieve similar aims to the Anna Liffey. We're stronger in approaching those aims together. Certainly the Harm Reduction Services Group has been established now, which was born out of an intervention that we established with the Progression Routes Initiative around safer injecting. There was a cocaine conference at Croke Park last year, and that group came together and developed that initiative. And out of that has come the Harm Reduction Services Group, and we're looking to establish a Celtic Harm Reduction Conference, which is also born out of our relationship with the Swansea Drugs Project in Wales, and a website we'd like to see established, which we've just received funding for harmreduction.ie.
Okay.
So these are all things that are very much in early stages, but these are examples of how these services have come together to work on a common goal and push the issue of harm reduction. And I think our partner agencies are not just harm reduction services. They are services that offer treatment and rehabilitation, that offer education, that we work with the guards as well, that we work successfully in the grey area that the Anna Liffey has to work in, and the Gardaí work in an understanding way with us.
Okay, so a multidisciplinary approach, really.
Absolutely. From a service level to a policy level, we're doing that, absolutely.
Okay. Now, the Anna Liffey claims to have a commitment to innovation and diversifying into new areas. What areas have you identified as important, and what are Anna Liffey's plan for innovation at the moment?
Firstly, the areas that we would have identified. I think within our strategic plan, there are many, many points. Right now, we have had a massive increase in numbers at the Anna Liffey. The best example I can give of that is that in February 2006, we had 502 visits to the Anna Liffey Drug Project. And in February 2008, we had 2,077 visits to the Anna Liffey Drug Project.
That's a significant increase.
Same period, 2 years later. Massive increase. So we've seen a number of different trends come up, you know, obviously presenting when you see that massive number over that period. Homeless people, people who are homeless are coming into us. I don't see people being housed. I don't see it happening. I see them getting temporary accommodation. I see them in a cycle of prison and homelessness. I see them sleeping rough, prison, rough, prison, sleeping rough. So we need to see low threshold supported housing for people who are using drugs. We need to see good quality accommodation being made available and those people being given homes, because that's not happening. And they don't even register when it comes down to point systems and such.
Okay.
That's clear to me that that has to be done. I don't have an answer as to who's going to do it,
okay.
But there's a message that
It's an identified need and area of concern.
Yeah, there's huge issues around notions of mental illness and drug addiction. When people are very unwell with regards to their mental health, and particularly have a dual diagnosis of drug addiction or drug use, you will see them ending up on the streets too. Mm. And if we don't have innovative solutions to that, we won't see those people picked up upon, and very quickly, and certainly not very quickly. That's an area of service delivery that is hugely lacking. I don't see anything happening there.
Do you think there's a certain onus and responsibility on psychiatric services, then not strictly drug services, or for those two services to work more closely together?
I think it's the notion of working closely together.
Okay.
There's a document, Vision for Change, that talks about addiction not being within the remit of psychiatric services.
Yeah.
That it's within the remit of addiction services, obviously, then.
Yeah.
But it's not, it can't be exclusive to either. It has to be a joined up approach again. It has to be worked through. Mm. Yes, some people will have a drug problem and maybe not behave as rationally as some people would want them to be, but they're not mentally ill. But then there are mentally ill people who have a drug problem as well, and they do need help in that regard. So it's trying to decide how to approach it. And my experience tells me that you do that together,
yeah,
and you work it out together, and you assess together, and you take action.
Yeah,
and that's important too.
Yeah.
So there's sort of two areas. In terms of, we've got an exciting time, I suppose, in terms of the review of the National Drug Strategy. So, I suppose just to mention that the one thing we would look for in terms of the National Drug Strategy, just to mention this now, is an action plan.
Okay.
The notion that we would see a clear budget identified and agreed before the action plan is signed off on.
Do you feel that was something that was missing with the last strategy?
Well, certainly, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a strategy, and there was lots of actions, well-meaning actions in there, and a lot was achieved, but there was a lot that wasn't achieved, and particularly around harm reduction. Since 2000, there's been very little progress or no progress on the side of harm reduction, delivery of harm reduction services. In fact, if you think about the number of people going up, there's actually a reduction in services because things are pretty static.
Okay.
So the need has gone up, but the services are the same. So that's a cut in itself.
Yeah. And if you were to make recommendations yourself, then on how that action plan be set up or implemented, how would you see that?
I suppose I think it's a simple enough procedure in terms of identifying what you want to do, how much it's going to cost, and who's responsible, and then signed off and agreed that it is going to happen.
Okay.
And less is more in that regard.
Mm.
You know, it would be better to see things that are going to happen as opposed to becoming too aspirational. We have to be a little bit aspirational.
Yeah.
But to seeing real tangibles happen within the areas. The other thing around that notion of innovation, I don't know if it's innovation necessarily, but certainly we need to see a harm reduction strategy on a local and national level. Most harm reduction services are within Dublin, and that forces people into Dublin, creates problems.
Creates a problem for the for that.
It doesn't mean those services still should remain, but on a local level, harm reduction services should be established. Methadone maintenance more freely available, needle exchange more freely available. I suppose it's just that notion that we have a clear program of harm reduction services across all areas, really.
Okay.
Because it will lessen the impact on any one particular area, whereby, i.e., Dublin City takes the lion's share of problems, really.
Right. Yeah.
And then more locally outside, you'll see other areas having to do that too, whether it's Cork City or Limerick City or wherever it might be. They will have to do the same, because everyone will be pushed into the local area,
okay,
or into the city centre.
Okay, just to round things off, I just want to discuss briefly something that was mentioned in your strategic plan around the notion of health, dignity and respect being the key ingredient to positive change.
Yeah.
Can you discuss a little bit around that for us?
Sure. In our discussions around the strategic plan, we talked about, obviously philosophical issues and ingredients, I suppose, to positive change, and what we would like to see for our service users, what our aspiration is. And we talked about the notion of health, dignity and respect, and if you like, perhaps it should have been health, respect and dignity, because health is something that when we talk about health, we talk about the notion of a holistic health that the World Health Organization espouses. So the notion that somebody is healthy in terms of mind, body and spirit. So we aspire to that for our clients. We want them to have a home. We want them to have health, in the physical health. We want them to have their mental health. That's aspiration for people. Then you have the notion of respect, and we treat people with respect. We talked about that earlier. We talked about the notion of neither promoting nor denouncing drug use as an activity, and that promotes respect, because people come in and you accept them as they are. And what I suppose, in a very simple way, we were saying that if people had their health and they had their respect, then they would have their dignity, and something that they've lost quite often. And then dignity, therefore, people talk about different names for it, but we said dignity, self-efficacy, the belief in themselves to change, that kind of thing. And we were saying that that if they had their dignity, then it would be a recipe for positive change. Okay. But that's simply it. It was that notion of, if you had all this, this may lead to positive change in your life.
Well, that's a nice way to round things off anyway. If anybody does want to get in touch with Anna Liffey, your contact details?
Sure. Well, firstly, our address is 48 Middle Abbey Street in Dublin 1. And my email address is tony.duffin@aldp, for Anna Liffey Drug Project, aldp.ie. Website, www.aldp.ie.
Okay.
And we have addictionsearch.net as well.
Okay, that's great. Okay, thanks a lot, Tony.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Andy.
Drugs.ie Podcast.
Education and information.